Welcome to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. Happy to be here today with two representatives from Independence Health Sports Medicine Department, Dr. Jim Masterson and Dr. Andrew Slyhoff. Thank you both for joining us today.
Happy to be here.
Wonderful.
Same here.
Great. Well, we're glad to talk to you too. It's summer. It's 4th of July weekend, so everyone's ready to get out there and have some fun. And ultimately, though, we know there's going to be a few injuries. You know, Dr. Masterson, we just got a volleyball net in our backyard, and the competition in our family gets so intense that I'm pretty sure we're going to have to call you every Monday. You know, someone's so sore, their elbow or their ankle or their knee. So it's kind of funny, but you know, that's what happens to people as they age and even young people. So I want to talk a little bit about the services offered under sports medicine, because I think it's a bit of a misnomer that you're only handling young athletes. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct. We do have a good athletic trainer program, and we do have people with the schools, and we do see a lot of young athletes. But quite honestly, the majority of what we see are the weekend warriors, the people who, go out and are playing those rugged volleyball games in their backyard and, may sprain an ankle or hurt an elbow or have a family member spike and hit them in the head with the ball and get a concussion. We see mostly weekend warriors, and not only sports related, also, slip and fall injuries, motor vehicle accidents, other things that involve non-operative orthopedics or concussion care.
So let's say there is an injury to the shoulder or the knee, the hip, the elbow, whatever it is. Where can people go to connect with Independence Health? Where are your locations now?
So we have people in Latrobe and Norwin to the south and Mount Pleasant. We're really located throughout the area. Now with Independence Health, that stretches it even further. We have a huge area all the way up to, of course, Butler. If you look at that on a map, it's a massive area. And we do have quality sports medicine throughout that area. As far as this musculoskeletal part that you had mentioned, one of the biggest advancements that I've seen, and I'll let him talk more about it, are people like Dr. Slyhoff coming into the area who not only can do a awesome diagnostic exam, with their hands and clinically, but also have the availability of musculoskeletal ultrasound and a whole lot of different techniques that they can use to really further advance the treatment in the non-operative sports medicine field. We do also have several four fellowship trained orthopedic surgeons in sports medicine. But
Wonderful.
some of the stuff that Dr. Slyhoff brings is incredible. And Dr. Brian Lee, who's also with us, who's a non-operative sports medicine doc, we've just advanced so much over the past few years.
Oh, I can't wait to hear about it. Dr. Slyhoff, tell us a little bit about some of these non-operative techniques. And also, it sounds like there might be some diagnostics that we can discuss today that are advancing.
Yeah, sure. So most of the fellowships now for sports medicine require some sort of ultrasound training. Some of them are more intense, some of them are less intense. Typically, most programs have a set number of procedures that they want to go through, and there's definitely, variance in that, but all of them are required to have some sort of ultrasound training. So, what that means exactly is I carry the ultrasound with me most of the time. If I cover sports events, even on the sideline, I typically will have it with me. But especially in the office here, we have two different ultrasounds that we have here at Mount Pleasant that does get uploaded to the system. And there's a lot of different conditions that you can diagnose or look at that are actually, more available with the ultrasound, or you can see them a little bit easier with the ultrasound than you can even on MRI. With soft tissues and things. So, it's something that we can do right in the office. It's all point of care ultrasound, meaning that I can basically just, plug a couple of things in and I can, scan somebody's, calf or shoulder or whatever it may be, with the ultrasound and shoulders particularly. It's really good at picking up, rotator cuff injuries and things like that. there are some things that are, you know, better served with MRI or MRI with contrast, like labral tears, but a lot of times rotator cuff tears or calf tears or Achilles ruptures, things that, you know, we're kind of mentioning with the weekend warriors, you can, you know, throw an ultrasound on there and find the answer very, very quickly and give the, you know, the person or patient a pretty quick answer of, you know, I think this is, you know, going on. Whether you need diagnostic imaging is going to be up to the provider, you know, further diagnostic imaging, you know, beyond an ultrasound. But there are other conditions such as snapping hip syndrome and other things like that, that you have to have the patient move through, you know, range of motion and look at tissue in that to tell if that is, you know, indeed the problem that you actually don't have on an, or you know, on an MRI, because those are all still images. So there's some different impingement signs and things with your hip that you need an ultrasound and you need the patient to move, and you can't really do that without the ultrasound. So there are certain conditions that even are diagnosed with the ultrasound because of that, because it's a nice available thing that you can do with it, with motion too. So yeah, it's definitely an advancement. It's become really popular over the last 15 years or so. But yeah, like I said, it is required with all sports medicine fellowships now.
I mean,
one thing I would, I'm sorry, Jen, I don't mean to barge in. I just wanted to add one thing to that, because one thing that Dr. Schleyhoff didn't mention is that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the average resident probably does about 200 ultrasound procedures. Dr. Andy trained at University of Kentucky, and I think he did over 600 procedures there. And he's been out for, you know, some time now, so he's gained more experience. He really is the best of the best at it. You know, again, somebody I'm proud to call a colleague and part of our team.
You know, Jim, I have to ask you, Dr. Masterson, I don't remember 5 and 10 years ago there being ultrasounds on the sidelines of sports.
Well, that's because primarily there wasn't. I mean, in some instances, maybe, but that would have been the very start of it. But certainly it's not anything that I've ever been able to have on the sideline with me. I know it is something that Dr. Andy and Dr. Brian Lee take to the training room with them when they go. A big part of my practice is concussion management, and I'm kind of an old guy now, so it's a little bit different to go back and learn the ultrasound technique. And for some things, you don't need it. You know, I'm very comfortable with a knee and shoulder and manual exam. And so I feel very comfortable treating the non-operative orthopedic things as well. But it sure is nice to have people like Dr. Schleyhoff and Dr. Lee around who have that available to them and are so good at it.
Yeah, I mean, this is you know, just tremendous progression in healthcare, which is wonderful. So, Dr. Schleyhoff, are you primarily located in Mount Pleasant then?
Yep. So I'm here 4 days a week in Mount Pleasant. I have later hours on Tuesdays, and then I'm in Norwin or Norwin Square on Fridays.
Wonderful. So you're seeing, are you also seeing the full gamut of ages as well? Kids as well as
I think most people have kind of a cutoff, and it kind of depends on their fellowship training. But I usually see kids down to like 8 years old, and then, you know, obviously unlimited, you know, as far as the other end of that. So, yeah, we see a wide range of people and ages and things. I'm kind of all over that. You know, I don't do concussion management anymore, but I'm definitely comfortable evaluating somebody for a concussion. We just don't have the tools, you know, at the Norwin or the Mount Pleasant office to you know, fully treat a concussion patient, but definitely comfortable diagnosing or, you know, getting them to the right people.
And one of those right people is Dr. Masterson. So Dr. Masterson, what are the latest both diagnostic and treatment techniques for concussion? Because I know that's primarily what you're doing all the time.
It is. You might have to cut me off because it's something that I get excited about and can talk about forever. I just actually was at the International Concussion Summit up in Niagara Falls a few months back. And, you know, one of the things that I was always taught growing up is to work until your idols are your peers. And I came away from that conference feeling like we have the best concussion program anywhere, quite honestly. And I don't mean that to sound arrogant, but we have some really cool tools and an awful lot of experience. And we have just a tremendous group of vestibular therapists, speech therapists, exertion therapists, vision therapists, neurochiropractors. We have the whole gamut here. So the main thing in concussion management, there's not one perfect test. You have to be able to check the brain as many ways as you can. So we presently do use the impact neurocognitive test, which is the same test that the NFL, NHL, Major League Baseball, and so on and so on use. But we also have state-of-the-art balance testing. We have the best in visual tracking. We have gross motor testing. I never felt comfortable sending somebody back on the athletic field because their reaction time was good sitting in a computer. So we really do have the best of the best. Our foundations in the hospital system has been so supportive. I just am so happy. The other things that we have are because, 10 to 15 years ago, I reluctantly changed from doing all sport concussion to also seeing people with slip and fall injuries, motor vehicle accidents, workman's comp injuries. And geez, it didn't take too long to see the struggles that those people had. They have an invisible injury. They weren't understood even by their own families and at the workplace. So they had that, emotional pain as well as the true physical pain, the headaches, the dizziness, the balance issues. And nobody could see it and nobody understood it. So we have a support group. We have a Facebook group. We have a nonprofit. Actually, our golf outing is tomorrow to help raise money to bring additional resources. One of which, we have a hyperbaric oxygen program that's starting up, looks like a promising thing. So we have a very complete, very busy, I think very advanced concussion program that is the best anywhere.
So good to know, and it's so close to home, and it's wonderful to feature you both so that people are aware of all of these wonderful resources. Now, that's the non-surgical component. The surgical component, I would imagine, includes joint replacement. I would say probably the hand surgery, foot and ankle surgery. Is that about right?
We do have all of those for sure. We have a foot and ankle specialist, Dr. Stephanie Mastre. We have Dr. Lance Brunton, who's just such an awesome hand specialist. We have Dr. Leger, Dr. Erdos, Dr. Passarelli, who are all excellent fellowship trained sports medicine specialists. Who'd I miss, Andy?
We have two that are special in joint replacements. So you obviously, Dr. Bellassini and Dr. Lara both did an extra fellowship just to do the joint replacements too. So, and just speaking to the whole picture, with even concussion management, going back to that, I did a lot of my rotations and things around, the country and around the area both. And as you travel around, you find out that we have been doing these things actually for almost a decade, and everybody's starting to catch up, starting with, Pittsburgh and then like to Philadelphia. Now other people are starting to find out about, the vestibular component. And, he mentioned a lot about that. So I'll just kind of piggyback on saying that we've been doing these things for a long time and we're pretty, well-versed in those things. And I think the country's, finally starting to catch up. If you read the most recent concussion consensus statement about all of the things that go into concussion, but also speaking to that about our health system, training in a big university at Kentucky, we didn't even have a foot and ankle surgeon that was like part of our system. So we had to refer out for that. Same thing with hand surgery. So we're lucky that as a, smaller health system, that we do have these things kind of readily available to us, that we can work with them and, refer and talk directly to them about these kind of more specialized, orthopedic surgeons to, have them right in our system is very helpful. And then obviously the joint replacement, that's unfortunately not going away anytime soon, given our aging population.
Dr. Andrew Schleyhoff and Dr. Jim Masterson from the Sports Medicine Department at Independence Health System are on the line today. They're our guests on Westmoreland Community Connections here on WHJB. When we come back, we're going to talk about why they chose their profession, their training, and their favorite parts of the job. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Classic Hits 107.1. Listen live at WHJBFM.com.
Welcome back to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. Happy to be here with Dr. Jim Masterson and Dr. Andrew Schleyhoff. They are part of the Sports Medicine Department at Independence Health, one located in Mount Pleasant, one mainly in Greensburg, also with offices in Latrobe and Norwin, and now as part of Independence Health all the way up to Butler. So a huge footprint for this newly formed health system. And we're glad to have you on the line today. You know, I always wonder, Dr. Schleyhoff, what, you know, when do you know? Are you 15? Are you 16? When do you say, I think I'm going to be a doctor and I think I'm going to go into sports medicine? How did that happen for you?
Well, everybody has a different answer to that, obviously. But for me, I think it was probably in high school. Personally, whenever I, you know, had a couple of sports injuries, or, you know, a lot of people probably tell you similar things along the line there. But personally, as I was, you know, going through my own, you know, sports, you know, I was football, baseball, wrestling at Connellsville, so I'm local. Yeah, I was always curious about, so I was always curious about things as they happened and why things happened. And, you know, I was always on board that if somebody were to tell me, you know, you need to do this, this, and this to get better and get back to playing, you know, I would probably do that more than enough times just so I can kind of get back and get there as soon as I can and healthy. So I was always curious in regards to that, of, you know, how things get better. So I kind of knew even going into undergrad that I wanted to pursue medicine. But as far as sports medicine goes, I always wanted to kind of treat people that wanted to get better, you know, so athletes and things like that, even though we, you know, we've talked that it's much more involved than that. But that's kind of what put me in that direction. And I think that, you know, my own dad kind of put me in that direction too, not because he's in medicine at all. You know, he was actually a bricklayer, but just helping people every day and the course that he has been through, and, you know, a lot of different things that go along into being a physician. I think most people will have an altruistic reason there. It's not really a money thing. It's always, I want to help people, or I want to help people do the things that they want to do. And just being an active person my whole life, being around active people, you know, trying to help those people get back into the things that they want to do. And that might be, you know, just work. We see a lot of people that just have work injuries, or that, you know, might be, I want to get back to this activity, or that activity, but just helping people get back to what they want to do. So I think that it was a good medium between helping people and getting back to, the sports and other activities that they want to do. 'Cause there's, you know, the majority of people around here are involved in sports and other activities, or their kids are involved in that. So that was the whole picture for me. But to answer your question more concretely, it was probably high school for me that I kind of wanted to pursue medicine. And, you know, sports medicine came probably along as, you know, med school came. I was either like orthopedic surgery versus sports medicine. And, you know, I kind of chose the sports medicine route because it was a more, I guess, well-rounded thing. That training in family medicine, you know, I was always interested in that. And then sports medicine, it was just like a perfect mix for me to kind of treat the whole patient and the whole person. So high school and then med school, you know, medicine, high school, and then sports medicine. I kind of decided in medical school that I wanted to do that.
And then, so you graduated from Connellsville High School. That's exciting. Great local tie. And then where was the undergrad, the medical school, and then I see the fellowship in University of Kentucky.
Yep. So I went to undergrad at Allegheny College, and I played baseball and football there. And then I did my med school at LECOM at Seton Hill, and I was actually in the second class there. So I was lucky I could stay local. I did my residency in Latrobe, at Latrobe Family Medicine, and then my fellowship at sports medicine was at University of Kentucky.
Okay, nice. So you really are homegrown. This is wonderful to have you here. It's exciting. And I see you're into social media on Twitter, so people can follow you for the latest advances in sports medicine too.
Yeah, so we're fair. You know, the fellows that I had at University of Kentucky were luckily interested in kind of education and other things too. So I have my own Twitter account that's just kind of my name. It's at Andrew Schleyhoff. And then we actually have two different websites that we run or help run. It's just kind of us three. One's called sportsmedreview.com. And it's just Sports Medicine Review. And it's basically all topics sports medicine. And we post every Sunday. And one of my co-fellows and friends, John, is very involved in the sports medicine social media, and he actually kind of helps run the main site, AMSSM, which is American Medical Society of Sports Medicine, their media page also. And we post every Sunday, like I said, we post different cases along the week too. And there's a secondary site called WikiSM, it's WIKISM.org. And it's basically a bullet point and short, you know, kind of short and sweet area that you can look up any, you know, keyword, and it's going to, you know, bring up a lot of different topics and things like that. It was kind of modeled after WikiEM, which is emergency medicine, and which where he trained in emergency medicence. So, you know, I have a couple different things there. On my personal Facebook, I do post just our articles on there so people can follow along if they're interested. And a lot of people will either comment or look at it and said, you know, I have a similar condition or whatever it may be. So I am, you know, fairly involved in those things because I think most people have, you know, a Facebook or a Twitter or Instagram or whatever it be. So we're on all of those at Sportsmed Review. And then with Independence, I think they have their own, you know, obviously tags and things like that. So yeah, I'm involved in those for sure.
That's great stuff. Well, we're glad to have you back. So your family is back here living in Western Pennsylvania, and you're treating and caring for people probably in your hometown, probably who you grew up with.
Yeah, so I covered the Connellsville football team, and I have since medical school, actually. I obviously had a year break, but even through residency, I covered, you know, Connellsville football on the sidelines on Fridays in the fall. So, yeah, I'm back. Actually, the athletic trainer that is there now, it was there when I was there. So, yeah, there's definitely a big local connection, and all the coaches there, you were basically kind of floating around when I was there. So, yeah, definitely a homegrown person. I live in Mount Pleasant now, but you know, Connellsville definitely is where I, you know, have most of my ties. You know, my parents still live in Connellsville. So
what a neat story. That's great. Thank you so much for taking the time to share that with us. And Dr. Masterson, how old were you, and when did you know that you wanted to go into medicine?
Well, one other thing I would add on there, because I'm an older guy, and I remember Dr. Saiha playing sports for Connellsville, and he's absolutely right as far as he would do anything to stay on the field again. You know, he was the kind of athlete off the field. So, you know, I wish I had as great a story as Dr. Andy has. You know, I just wanted to keep my grades up, stay out of trouble so that the options were still open. And when I was at college at Pitt, I initially thought I wanted to be a dentist. My brother was a dentist, and then I realized that that isn't what I wanted to do. And I took the MCATs and didn't get into medical school, and you know, completed that and started a family practice residency. And it was probably about halfway through that family practice residency that I said, "Boy, I really want to do sports medicine." Now, it was a different time; there weren't really sports medicine fellowships out at that point. So I did my year of internship and my year of family practice. And I said, I really want to do sports medicine. And there was, I think there might have been one fellowship at the time that I graduated. But I had the opportunity to do an additional year. So I kind of created the curriculum between, you know, I was in Columbus. So I did some time at Ohio State, some time at Grant Sports Medicine, Riverside Sports Medicine. So I got a really good mix of what was available in sports at that point. Came out, did primary care for several years, which I'm actually really happy about because, you know, when we work with our Seton Hill athletes, we have, you know, a lot of displaced athletes, and I feel very comfortable treating depression, the psychological aspects, the medical conditions that come up with a displaced athlete. So I'm really happy to have that background as well. And then that kind of led into the concussion, which I've had a big focus on my practice for the past 25 years. And it just became such a big interest of mine because a little intervention can go such a long ways towards preventing long-term issues. The biggest study ever done on that now is the NCAA DOD study with over 50,000 people involved and right around 6,000 concussions. And it really is showing that the things that we've been doing for such a long time make a difference in the long-term well-being of our athletes. So doing the right thing early on can make a big, big difference. I stumbled into it, but I couldn't be happier with the career I ended up with. I absolutely love what I do every day, and I'm so happy to be a part of this team that we have here.
Oh, that's wonderful. It's a wonderful story, and you and your family are, for the most part, other than the girls, right? They're for the most part still here in Western Pennsylvania, which is wonderful.
Correct.
And you know, I think the program continues to grow. And I think it's so important that I see both of you, you know, really being active with the young people. And don't you think that has an influence on them when you're on the sidelines and teaching them to be careful, so careful about head injuries and other injuries that, you know, sometimes kids think they're invincible, right? And these things have long-term consequences.
Absolutely, definitely. You know, and that's the biggest message to get across is that, you know, we want you to be back out there. You know, we want to get you back out there as soon as it's safely possible. But it is that injury on top of injury in the concussion field in particular that gets you in trouble. So some good rule changes over the past few years, some positive progress, a lot more information that we had initially. There's still more gray than there is black and white, but we've come a long ways. And I'm just exceptionally proud of our sports medicine team and of our concussion program.
Dr. Schleyhoff, before we wrap up today, any good stories for people at home, you know, being back home and practicing medicine, anything that you'd like to share with people or, you know, how they can even come in and get an appointment with you?
Yeah. So I think, I guess one other thought that went through my head there as Dr. Masterson was talking was, I was just, I guess, flashbacking to, you know, whenever I was playing, which it just gets further and further, which is unfortunate, but it was such a different like time. You know, we've come such a long way with especially concussion, even awareness, that before it was like, you know, I don't know what kind of reputation Collinsville has, but you know, hard-headed people. And there's just like, well, you're okay. And you know, shake it off and just go back in there. And I think that over the past decade, there's been definitely a lot of positive changes that people are at least aware of the problem. And two, I don't think that coaches and other things, I think they used to really push back at providers if they were like, no, this person's out. And I was glad to see whenever I was even training at, you know, a bigger university that they basically just say like, are they in or they out? And they don't like push back at you and say, no, we need this person. They need to play. So I think that that's a really positive thing that's happened over the past 15 years or so, because whenever I was in high school, it definitely was like, unless somebody was like passed out grossly, like wobbly, you know, like, no, you're okay, go play. So I think that's going to save a lot of brains down the road as people get a little bit smarter about recognizing and not going back in whenever they're not ready to go back in. So that's just something that I've noticed, and it's a really positive thing. And I'm glad that we do have a really good team. And I think even most of our athletic trainers and things that, you know, luckily we're, you know, having them on the sidelines is lucky in general, because I know the overall kind of attendance on the sidelines for athletic trainers and you know, schools that are lucky enough to have that. We're really lucky in our area that most schools do have an athletic trainer there. So we have a lot of different positive things that have come about for the last, you know, 20 years or so. So, but as far as other stories and things like that, nothing too crazy. I think I'm just happy to be back. You know, I live local, I work local, and I think most of our team, you know, even through our orthopedic surgeons, are mostly local people. So I don't think we really plan on going anywhere. And I think we've all gotten different training, but I think we have a lot to offer. As far as getting an appointment here, you know, most of the time it's just calling the office. I'm here, like I said, 4 days. Our schedule is busy, but you know, we definitely fit athletes and other people in, you know, pretty quickly. So just calling, you know, our office number, you know, at Independence Health is the best way to get an appointment. If you did reach out to me on social media or anything like that, I definitely get back to people. You know, I definitely check my messages and things like that.
Dr. Andrew Schleyhoff and Dr. Jim Masterson, sports medicine physicians at Independence Health. That number is 877-771-1234. Thank you both for joining us on Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB.